Shabbat Shalom. So great to be with you today. So excited about all that is going on in the world today. I'm so thankful that Yeshua is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that He's overseeing everything, that He's going to bring about His Father's will and good pleasure in the world that we're living in, that He's coming again to rule and reign forever and ever. What a great day that's going to be. So again, I want to welcome you, especially those that are listening to our live streaming today. It's a very big day for all of us, and so we're super excited and grateful for the opportunity that God has given us to live stream. Now, this is a little bit ironic, but I have to apologize right out of the gate. We're in part two of a message. So if you're live streaming, you're saying, what? Part two? How does that work? Well, the good news is, that message last week is already up. You can go back and listen to it and pick that up and get the framework for what I'm saying today. So thank you again for joining us. Very excited to have you with us. The tent pegs of the harvest are expanding. We're a beautiful, wonderful community. I love this community. And we have this opportunity now to extend that. And we're doing that. And so I can't wait to just grow and grow and grow, and then to be able for us to meet different people in different places who share the same heart for the kingdom of God, for the glory of Jesus, and for the Torah as a way of life. So very excited today. So my message is money. Money is the answer to everything. Part two. Hang with me, right? I mean, that doesn't sound right, right? Money is the answer to everything. I mean, who said that? Thank you, King Solomon. So it's important that we consider it. After all, we all need money. The good news is God promises to give His children the power to make money, the power to gather and acquire wealth. This is the promise of God. Last week, we talked about this. What we discovered was money isn't the problem. Money isn't evil. It's the love of money that is evil. 1 Timothy 6:10, it says this, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." Think about that. Think about what people do who are pursuing, hungering, lusting for money, how much we compromise, cheat, steal, whatever it is, just to get that money. And I'm telling you right now, it's that love of money which leads a lot of people into areas that just bring misery and sorrow. Love of money is the problem, not money itself. We all need money. So that's what we've been talking about. We learned that poverty is a curse. It's not a blessing, it's a curse. Moses told us that in the first five books that he wrote. We also learn that wealth is a blessing. Wealth is the blessing of God. Matthew 6:24, listen to this. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. What does that mean? You're only going to have one love, and that love is going to consume your heart. It's either going to be your Father in heaven, His kingdom, His Son, His agenda for the world that we live in, or it's going to be the pursuit of money. But it won't be both. It won't be both. It's either going to be Him or the pursuit of money. Now, let me give you another quote. Another scholar, P.T. Barnum. Okay, well, he was a businessman at least. He said this, "Money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant." Isn't that great? Money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant. We learned last week, make money and wealth serve you, not vice versa. You need to make money your servant before it makes you its servant. Wealth is intended to bless you and others, and to advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Dave Ramsey says this, "Financial peace isn't the acquisition of stuff. It's learning to live on less than you make so you can give money back and have money to invest. You can't win until you do this. Very wise. Tithing and investing are foundational in building wealth. Last week, I gave 8 of my 10 commandments on how to build wealth and prosperity in your life. Get the video. You're going to want it. I talked about the first 8 of my 10 commandments. Today, I'm going to finish with the last 2 of the 10 and then focus on one of them. Before I do, let me qualify what I mean by wealth. How I define wealth is different from what the world defines it. Okay? Wealth is this. The basic foundations of wealth are clothes, food, and shelter. That is the building blocks, the initial wealth that God promises that we build up. Clothes, food, and shelter. If you have these 3, you have the basic foundations for building wealth. Now, God reveals in his word, in Moses, in Deuteronomy, actually the first 5 books of Moses, but especially Deuteronomy, he reveals how to acquire these and build on these. The world qualifies wealth somewhat differently. And the path is, well, you make wealth and prosperity your number one goal in life. That's called idolatry, by the way. And it always results in harm and even evil at the end of the road. 1 Timothy 6:9. We read the previous verse a few minutes ago. Listen to what verse 9 says. But those who want to get rich, and it's talking about a lust for riches, those who desire strongly to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. There is no get-rich-quick plan. That's a scam, always. Stay away, right? The idea is this, that if your pursuit is money and wealth, you're going to be extremely disappointed at the end. It's amazing to see this. But even the rich of our world, the rich of our country, when you think of the rich, have you noticed? They have a lot of divorce too going on. And yet you would think they'd have it all together because they're so rich. They suffer from addictions, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual addictions, gambling addictions, anger and violence addictions. They even experience a tremendous amount in terms of you know, how systemic it is, but you know, they have their fair share of amount, I should say, of depression. You know, we're talking about the millionaires and billionaires. They too suffer from depression and anxiety. Money doesn't shield you from that. Money doesn't solve that. Depression, anxiety. Just think of the amount of Prozac that's prescribed in our nation. Zoloft, Paxil, etc. And then you have the homicide and the suicide among the wealthy as well. Yeah, the world's path to getting riches doesn't solve problems. It actually increases problems. The pursuit of money as your number one pursuit always will lead into a place of ruin and destruction by the end, okay? Some think they might be able to gain the whole world, but in reality, in the end, they'll lose it all, including their souls. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. People tell me all the time, that sounds like another wealth and prosperity gospel that you're repackaging with the Torah. You know, this is no different than what we've heard for many, many, many years. So let's talk about this. People say, what about all those beautiful children of God who suffer extreme poverty, who are homeless, hungry, in need of clothes, enslaved by the greed of others. You can think of the sex trafficking industry. Those who are enslaved by the greed of others, where are their promises? My answer is, God is not a man that he would lie. Their promises are coming. They're coming. God's will for all of his children is that we all would be blessed and prosperous. That's why he says that part of our job, for those of us who are excelling in these areas, our job is to help clothe the naked, provide water for the thirsty, feed the hungry, provide shelter for the homeless, and most importantly, to lead them to a born-again experience through faith in Messiah, and then teach them how to apply God's word to their lives so that they too can become strong and wealthy so as to help in this venture of saving and blessing God's creation. You say, okay, but what about those that are martyred? Well, what about their promised wealth? I say they just stepped into it. We think our frame of reference is this short span of life that we have here on the earth. For the believer, life never ends. Death is not the end. No, for the martyr who was robbed of all that God intended, that martyr steps immediately into the presence of God, into heaven itself, a place of extravagant wealth, extravagant health, unbelievable prosperity and happiness. They also have a martyr's crown, symbolizing the wealth and authority and power that they're going to have and exercise in the age to come. Life doesn't end when your body dies. So let's get a biblical paradigm of life. Life goes on after death for the righteous. All the promises of God are yes and amen in the Messiah. And whether we get them in the here and now or later, they're coming to us. Because it's God's will that we are healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. That's where we're going. We're just trying to get some of that in the here and now. But make no mistake about it. God is not a man that he would lie. He's making good on all of his promises. So let's jump into commandment number 9 on building wealth. Commandment number 9. You can get the last 8 by getting last week's video. Commandment number 9, get plugged into a local congregation and run with the pack. You're going to need the wisdom of the elders, right? And the energy of the young people, as the songwriter said. We need the wisdom of those that have gone before us. We have some wise, wise men and women in this congregation, older men and women, that have learned over the decades how to apply the word of God and make this happen. They're living lives that are full of blessing. And we can learn a lot from them. They teach classes here. How are you going to make it on your own? If you're young and just starting out, you need the wisdom of the elders. You have to run with the pack. There's a lot of resources in the pack, the local church. So get plugged in to a local church. You say, I don't have one. Well, we're the next best thing. We're live streaming. We're going to bring you some of these teachings and resources to you so you can apply them where you're at right now. Our congregation, our local congregation, we teach classes, we have counseling, we have healing and deliverance ministries, we have career counseling. It's just amazing what happens when people come together and share their resources, their wisdom, their life experiences. It's so important to get plugged in to a church. Commandment number 10. This is one of the most important of the 10. And obviously there's more than 10, but these are the big 10 core principles of acquiring and building wealth based on the word of God. Commandment number 10, be content and thankful for what you have at every point of your journey. Let me say that again. Be content and thankful for what you have at every point of the journey. If you're not happy, listen to this. If you're not happy at point A, you will not be happy at point B. If you're single and you're like, oh, I just want to be married, and you're all unhappy and fit to be tied, you'll be unhappy and fit to be tied after you're married because you didn't learn how to be happy as a single person. You can apply that to any circumstance, any socioeconomic status in your life. You just got to learn to be happy and content with what you currently have. That's so important in building wealth and money. Contentment is learning to be happy in whatever station of life you currently are in. You got to look for the positives in the midst of the negatives. Two boys brought into a building, two rooms, two boys about 10 years old. And they took one, or they took both rooms and they filled them wall to wall with about 2 feet of manure. And they told those kids, hey, you each have a room. Have at it. First boy opened up the room. He looked at that. He said, what? Grabbed his nose. Man, that stinks. I ain't going in there. I don't want nothing to do with that. You know what that is? The other boy, they opened up the door. Man, his eyes got really big. He ran in, dived, disappeared, jumped up, dove again, showed up in another part of the room. He's like everywhere. He jumps back up. They finally said, what are you doing? He says, well, look at all the horse manure. There's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Your frame of reference is everything. You may not be able to change your circumstances, but you get to change your perspective and how you choose to view your circumstances. We've got to learn to look for the positives and to transact the positives by meditating on them and expressing our thanksgiving to God for each of them. In the midst of the downside, thank God for the things that are still a blessing. That'll help you cope with any challenges you might be facing. This is going to give you the satisfaction of enjoying things you currently have now as you address your present challenges and await for the increase of wealth and prosperity in every area of your life. So let me summarize those last two. Those two are the final in my Ten Commandments on building wealth and prosperity. We're going to offer some classes on building and strengthening our finances in the weeks and months ahead. They'll give us specific steps to grow and maximize our wealth and prosperity. That's important to all of us, especially our younger people and our younger families who are struggling and trying to find a way in an economy right now that's very, very difficult. The last 30 years has been very difficult for the middle-class worker to try to make ends meet, and it's becoming increasingly difficult. We have a way to help you and to strengthen you and to give you hope so that you too can build something substantial for you, your family, and for those around you in need. Last week I said help is on the way. Help is on the way. You know what the help is? The principles of God's word that we've been sharing. That's the help. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need a truth encounter, not a power encounter. No one's going to zap you and make your problems go away. No one's going to zap you and all of a sudden you got a pot of gold. No, it's just hard work. Consistently applying the word of God day in and day out with ups and downs along the way. But if you graph it, you'll notice that God is raising you up to be the head and not the tail. That's his plan for you. That's his will for you. So if you didn't get the first 8 commandments, please do that. Download that. You can watch that later on this week. If you have a chance, check us out at graftedin.com. That's GRAFTEDIN. Okay, so let's back up a little bit. I'm going to take one of those commandments that we talked about last week. I told you I was going to break that out and share a little bit more. I want to do that for you today. So the first and fundamental principle for a believer to position themselves for socioeconomic increase is the tithe. Now, I know right away people are saying, oh, I knew you were going to do this. you're just trying to get our money, right? I'm going to share a little bit with you. I've been tithing for 40 years now. 40 years now. I got born again. And the first two things that I was taught when I got born again by leaders around me was, you need to get plugged into a church and you need to start tithing. And so I began my journey, a journey of being plugged into a local community and serving, and I started tithing 40 years ago. I would never ask you to do something that I myself have not done or am not doing. I would never do that. I've tithed all along. We learned that early on. And what is the tithe? What is the tithe? 10%. Of your increase. You give 10% of your increase to God. The rest you budget, and the rest through that budget you build. You live on and you build. Now I want to say this again. I've said it before. If you're a member here in the Harvest, you have access to my financial giving. I've instructed our treasurer to print out for anybody my giving record. You can have my giving records. You can see what I give and have given. That's for you as a member. I want to disclose that to you. Now, people say, well, do you tithe on the net or do you tithe on the gross? I tithe on the gross. I tithe on the top. You can tithe off the net if you want. I tithe off the gross. If I tithe off my net, by the time my CPA is done, my adjusted income is a lot lower, and my tithe would be a lot lower if I was the tithe on my net. I tithe on my gross. Why? Because I never thought it through. But I thought to myself, well, I want to make sure that I give God what belongs to Him. That 10% is His, not mine anyway. I do not want to cheat him. I do not want to steal from him. I want to make sure he gets everything and then some. Why? Because he's the one that gives me power to make wealth. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8. He gives us the power to make wealth. I'm very grateful for that. So over the last 30 years of ministry, Don and I, we have counseled a lot of people, worked with a lot of people that struggle with finances. I mean, who doesn't, right? 99% of everyone who has come to us with financial problems, as we work with them and begin to look into what's going on, to make the changes that we need to make, to apply the truths of God's word, the truth will set you free. We've discovered 99% of everyone that's having financial troubles is because they were not tithing. Now, I found one guy, he was tithing and then way above his tithe offerings, and he did that consistently. And he had so many financial problems for years and years and years. And I was preaching on this one day about how God will bless you and open up a blessing for you and da-da-da-da-da. He was shaking his head. No, no. He was just so upset. I tried to talk to him. He was very emotional. A lot of pain there. He says, that's just not true. It just doesn't work. There's something wrong with that. It's not true. Well, no. He was tithing and giving offering. But what he was doing with his cash flow and how he's trying to make money and his way, the way that he budgeted, that's where all the problem was. That's very unusual to see that. But I saw it once. In every other instance, what I saw in people's financial troubles was that one of the things they're not doing was tithing. And that is a problem. The tithe is a fundamental tool given to us by God to teach us about money, faith, and kingdom expansion. If we do not get this implemented, if we don't implement the tithe in our life, we can expect one or the more of the following to one degree or another. We can expect curses in our finances. I'll show you this in just a bit. Diminished financial opportunities. Unnecessary lack. I mean, we all have lack from time to time. That's part of how God grows us in faith. But what we don't need is unnecessary lack, right? And just think of the stress and the anxiety that comes when finances are just upside down. And let's not forget to mention the devourer, you know, that random and unexpected thing that happens on a fairly regular basis that costs money. That's not in your budget, by the way. It's an unexpected problem that now costs money to resolve. Now, here's one of the biggest delusions I run into over and over and over. People tell me, but Pastor, you don't understand. I can't afford to tithe. What do you think I'm here? Okay, I can't afford it. I don't say that's a delusion. That's not helpful, you know? But it is. Fact of the matter is this. We can't afford not to tithe. When I show you what God says about this, you're going to realize, oh, wait, I can't afford not to tithe. It's the other way around. It's a lie. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Delusion is like a pharmaceutical drug. You know, this whole idea that, oh, I can't afford to tithe. That's like a pharmaceutical drug. It promises a solution, but the side effects are worse than its cure. In this case, the delusion that I can't afford to tithe leads to the side effects of increased dizziness, loss of vision, loss in your ability to hear the voice of God, debilitating confusion when all of a sudden you can't pay the bills, a compulsion, this is one of the side effects, a compulsion to steal and rob others to compensate for your losses, and then uncontrollable financial, fill in the blank, I can't even say it here, but this loss of finances that just seems to leave you abruptly. Finally, occasional seizures as a coping mechanism that help you temporarily black out and forget your financial woes. There is a better way. There is a better way. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. This is the prophet Malachi. You won't find it in the pastoral writings. You have to go to the office of the prophet to get the truth on this. Malachi 3:8. God says through his prophet Malachi, "Will a man rob God? Yet you, Israel, you, my covenant people, you who I saved out of Egypt, who I redeemed, called you my own, you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? God, what are you saying? In what way did we steal from you?" God's answer, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. How can that be? I mean, in what way is that stealing? Well, if the tithe belongs to God and the other 90% belongs to you, then what is yours, and what is his, right? It's like your bank accounts, right? You got your bank account, 90%. You budget, you do all your stuff. Over here is God's account. He says, make sure you take 10% of what I've given you. It's mine. You give it to me and put it in my account. That's my money. That's your money. And then you need to do what you need to do. I'm going to advance my kingdom with the 10. And here's another thing. He doesn't even need that. But he says, do it anyway, because he wants to teach us about faith and about how to honor him as king. Now, he says, you put the 10 over here, and you got 90. What do we do? Well, we might put 8, or we might put 5%, or 0, right? Why? We think it's our money. Well, I can't afford to do it this month, God, sorry. What do you mean you can't afford? It's not yours to afford anyway. It's my money. That's not yours to begin with. If you got 90% and you didn't budget and you overspent, I'll help you with your creditors, or you know, I'll help you work that out. But the 10% is mine. And the fact that you didn't give it to me constitutes thievery. You stole from me. Now, if you're going to steal from your brother or sister. You don't want to steal from the sovereign king of the universe. You say, well, he's my father in heaven too. He's not just a king. He'll understand. God says, I chastise those whom I love. And he loves you. So why sign up for that occasional chastisement when it's not even necessary. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9, he goes on to say, you were cursed with a curse. He says to his children who are not giving him what is rightfully his, he says, you're cursed with a curse. As a result of that, you're cursed. Now, we read this last week. He doesn't curse. He just releases the curses that we beckon in our disobedience. He says, you're cursed because you called for it. What were you thinking? Why would you violate the laws that I've set into place to govern this entire world that I've created? You're cursed with a curse. You know what it means to be cursed? It means to be diminished in your potential. It means to be diminished in who you are, in your financial life, in your emotional life, in your spiritual life. It's just a diminishment of who you are. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation, of you. It's not a good thing to steal from God. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe. How much is the whole tithe? 10%. It's always 10%. When people give, they say, I tithed. Really? Did you give 10%? No, I just gave something. Well, that's not a tithe. Giving something is not a tithe. 10% is the tithe. You haven't given anything even when you give the 10%, because that wasn't yours to give. That was his all along. Now, if you want to give an offering on top of that out of your 90%, you just gave something out of your stuff. I know what it's like to be stressed in your finances. I started out with very humble beginnings. Dawn and I, very humble beginnings. We were smitten, bitten with love when we got married, and I had a part-time job. She had a part-time job. We drove an old, stinking, broken-down pickup truck for years. 1954 Chevy pickup, six-banger. Man, you just floor that thing. You'd hear the engine ramp up. Man, it just wouldn't go any faster. It was a six-banger. Just made more noise, right? Good on gas, though. Anyway, we started out. And we had bills, and we had part-time jobs that fluctuated hours. And there were many, many times over our early years where we were just so stressed with financial scenarios. But we learned to trust in God. He saw us through over and over and over. And over the years, blessed us and increased. I'll tell you what, when he says, and I'm going to get down to this, when he says, You test me in this. You give to me by faith and learn to trust me. I'll pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. You're going to have to actually get storage units to put that into, because it's going to be an overflow. And Don and I learned that he's true to his word. And we grew in that over the years. And now we're in a place of much greater strength, and we're helping others to learn that. And so if you're young and you're strapped, or maybe you're older and you're just learning these things and you're thinking, man, my life's such a mess financially, it's just like it's killing me. Hope is on the way. We're going to help you with this. You just need to reposition some things, and over a period of time, we're going to turn that around. We're all going to get strong. We're going to help each other do that. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. From the word go, we've had an overflow. From the word go, we've always had to have like a room where we put all our extra stuff, because it wouldn't fit currently where we were living. And I'm telling you, it's always been that way. I always have more than what I can use. I'm always storing things. Now I got a really big dilemma, because the house we just bought has no storage room in it. You know, I had to like really be a little bit more creative with where I put the stuff, and then we just gave the rest. We took truck after truck after truck load to the Goodwill. We did. We gave most of it away in this last move, just because I didn't have the storage that I had in my other home. So God is faithful in that. How many people relate to that? that God has made good on his word when it comes to the tithe in your life, that he's just blessed you in a way that you've had to just have an extra room set aside just to put your stuff, right? Why does he give us this? Why does he expand our wealth? To bless us because he loves us. And he wants to advance his kingdom. And he wants us to help those around us that don't have anything, to bless them, to be kind to them, to be generous with the poor, and then show them how they can become the head and not the tail too. This is his kingdom work. God says, you bring this into my house, test me in this, I'm going to pour out a blessing until it overflows. Verse 11, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord. Now, over the last 40 years that Don and I have been tithing, we have had months where we decided, can't do it this month. Those were far and few between, but there were those times we just said, can't do it. There's no way, we got too many bills. Can't do it. And you know what happened? We didn't get ahead. In fact, a month later, because there's always like a lag of 1, 2, maybe 3 months, but all of a sudden we had this another unexpected thing come along, and guess how much that cost us? The amount that we withheld. I started connecting the dots. That happened on a fairly regular basis when I would miss the tithe. I figured that out. You know what I learned? God's word is true. It works like a clock, man. That thing works. It's been tried and tested, and it works. We need to give God his, and then the other 90%, we need to live well within our means, setting aside other portions of that in our budget for investing and for our children, for helping each other, and watch that thing grow over the years. Yeah, it takes decades for that to grow. But that's the design of God. He says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. If you're not tithing, you got to stop and ask yourself, why am I not tithing? The devourer is going to eat what I think I'm keeping. The devourer is going to come and eat that anyway. And when he's done, he doesn't bless me. He gives me the Hawaiian good luck sign at best. But he doesn't bless me. But when I give that to God, he always blows on it and increases my 90%. So if I'm going to give it anyway, either to God or the devourer, doesn't it make sense just to give it to God? Because with it comes the blessing. That's the power of the tithe. That's one of the financial principles of God's word. I am your king. The tithe belongs to me. Give it in faith, and I will fill your life with blessing. That's the word of the Lord. That's God's word. That's God's promise. He says, test me, test me, test me. Fear is a lack of faith. Oh, I can't afford it. That's fear. That's a lack of faith. Do it anyway. Test him in that. And don't expect anything to happen that next day or the day following. It usually takes a month or two. Stay with it, because when that comes in rhythm, it will begin to fill your life and continue as you stay faithful. Okay, so, verse 12, final verse. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. In the end, God's promise to us is that he's going to increase the blessing in our life. And as that increases, we're going to become the head and not the tail. And for Israel as a nation, he said, you're going to be the one who loans instead of borrows. You'll be the banker. How many people understand the bankers are the ones that really are in control of the wealth mechanisms? Isn't that true? He says, you're going to be the world's bank, so to speak. You'll be lending, not borrowing. The borrower becomes what? Servant to the lender, a slave to the lender. God wants us to bring us into a place, all of his children, over our lives, to bring us into a place of strength and blessing, so that not only are we blessed, but we can reach out to those around us, the poor, the needy, the hungry, the thirsty, and make a difference in their lives. Give them hope. Lead them to his son, that they might experience being born again and having a pathway to a tremendous, meaningful, and purposeful life. This is the power of money. This is why he's given us the ability to make wealth. Wealth is a good thing. Wealth is a blessing. We all need it. So let's submit our lives to God, his word, and his ways as we build together wealth and prosperity for the sake of all of those around us. Hallelujah. Well, Shabbat Shalom. Give the Lord a clap offering.
And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Receive now the name of Yahweh.
Yivarech Yahweh ve'yishmerech Yaher Yahweh panav alech ויהונך יישא יהוה פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
בשם ישוע המשיח, שר השלום, שבת שלום.